This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we are talking about the fact that last week, Indonesia announced a ban on palm oil exports starting on April 28th. And this is to prevent further increases in domestic cooking oil prices. This followed a rally that took place in the capital city. And the finance minister, Sri Mulyani Indrawati, said that this move is necessary to reduce price because demand exceeds supply, even though the ban would hurt other countries. Now, the other countries part is where we enter the picture, because Indonesia is the top producer, exporter and consumer of palm oil and provides around 60% of the total global supply. But after that is us. We account for 25%. And I think the industry has been under some questioning lately. So it's going to be interesting to see how we enter the picture in light of the fact that Indonesia has made this decision. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, send it our way. In the meantime, we are crossing over to Ko Yu Ling to unpack this. Political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors. Yu Ling, thanks for joining us as always. Now, to start off, what do you make of Indonesia's decision to ban the export of palm oil as a way to stabilize their domestic cooking oil prices?
Well, you know, this Indonesia export ban for palm oil came as a bit of a shock, but maybe in hindsight, a bit less so, because it's been a couple of months now since the beginning of the year when there's been a real shortage of palm oil within Indonesia, which is quite amazing because it's a huge producer. So this ban, actually, I think probably speaks more of the political problem that is arising for the palm oil industry more than anything, because just before the ban, I was checking with senior friends in Jakarta, and they're still telling me that even until now, after various policy, I suppose we can call it policy gyrations, that you know, the subsidized cheaper cooking oil is still scarce in Indonesia. That's a worrying thing that the industry has not achieved the domestic supply.
So if we take a step back, could you help us understand what led to the high prices of cooking oil in the first place?
Well, you know, palm oil is part of this whole vegetable oil complex. And there have been shortages globally anyway, because of, first of all, supply was tightening. You know, there's this drought going on in Latin America. So that affects soybean oil and other oils. And then, of course, we have the conflict in Ukraine and Russia, which basically affects the availability of sunflower oil. So, you know, you have these tight situations across the whole vegetable oil complex, these shocking events. And now you have this Indonesia saying that the 28th of April, they want to ban the palm oil exports. And anyway, Indonesia already had certain restrictions on exports a couple of weeks ago already because of their struggle with domestic supply. So this adds on to all these issues.
So how effective is this ban as a way to manage the situation?
Well, I think the people in the industry do see it as a political situation right now. And the way I read it is that the president really just throwing down the gauntlet at the industry to say, basically say, why haven't you supplied the domestic market, right? If you look at this wording, it's talking about to make cooking oil available and affordable. I would focus first on the availability, because I think that's the key question. Why have they not supplied the domestic market? That's the crux of it. And I think if you just stand there and say that, look, there's two prices in the domestic market. So if you're buying the bottle, the branded cooking oil, that's available. But, you know, that's the natural economic outcome of having two prices. That just does not cut politically. And you can see the president very hard on this issue now.
So there are concerns that this decision will have larger repercussions on the edible oil and palm oil industries. What are some of the potential impacts of this ban in that regard?
Well, yes. I mean, essentially, this is a move that really surprised people. I think to me, if I look at it politically, economically, it looks as though the industry has been tussling with the Indonesian policymakers, and they've got pretty fed up. And if you look at what's happening, of course, you know, soybean oil, I think it reacted 3% up straight away. I'm not sure what the other moves have been going on with the vegetable oils, but this just adds to the tight situation. the timing of it is interesting as well, because 28th April is the start of the Lebaran holidays in Indonesia. With the Muslim festival more or less ending around 5th of May, you're going to see more of the domestic impact then. And I'm just guessing now that the Indonesian industry should be having emergency meetings together to see how they can satisfy this political challenge.
Now, it's been suggested that this ban will greatly impact small-scale farmers in Indonesia. What can you tell us about this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel the industry always talks about smallholders. They sort of hold smallholders in front of them a bit like a shield sometimes. I'm a little bit skeptical on that front. Of course, I think the reality is that when there is, and Indonesia has this export duty system, which basically forces a discount on domestic oil when you purchase it. So, of course, this impacts the smallholder to the extent that they are forced to subsidize the bigger industry anyway. So that's the general context of it. So I suppose if they are discussing it in that manner with the political and policy makers, in a way, the industry is saying that I'm going to discount the farmer's price even more. So I don't know. This is pretty tough when the politicians have gone very hard on this to then use the smallholders as a bargaining chip. I think we'll have to see what happens with that.
And if we bring the issue closer to home, what will the impact of all this be on Malaysia's palm oil sector?
Yeah, the Malaysia reaction, sorry, is a bit interesting. I mean, I don't know. Malaysia has been going through a lot of angst with the Western markets. And a lot of the, especially the upstream side, they're always saying, you know, why do we keep supplying them? You know, why don't we just focus on China and India? Well, I think in the first instance, my reaction to that sort of thing is that I think you've got to be careful when you want to talk about, you know, I don't want to supply markets, because you could have rather inadvertent and unexpected effects from that if you want to cut off a market that is, whether you perceive it as 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% or whatever. In reality, these Western markets are also having problems because of lack of supply. So, you know, Malaysians are very delighted, let's say, to see that, oh, they're going to stop this anti-palm oil campaign because they have insufficient supply from sunflower oil. So yes, that's true. But this is the current circumstance. Eventually, these shortages are going to work themselves out one way or the other, either demand destruction or when other suppliers return. But I think you need to be friendly to all markets. And it's very dangerous to be very anti this market and anti that market and pro one market, because market players know how to manipulate you or whatever in future times to come.
So is there then an opportunity here for Malaysia to step up and fill the current production gap left by Indonesia?
I guess there is. I mean, the production, put it this way, I think Malaysia has its own set of problems because of the labour shortages. So it actually hasn't really been able to step in on that front on a regular basis because it's been at a standstill in terms of supply basis. Of course, Indonesia has been rising. But, you know, if Indonesia really does put the stops on certain cargoes going out, you know, if they don't, if the politicians and the big owners don't manage to thrash it out before, say, 5th of May, then there is a situation of cargo considerations. But, you know, there's this very interesting way that industries, not just palm oil, have a way of moving cargo around here and there. I think there's always ways and means for them to be, you know, flexible about how things happen. I'm going to assume that there's going to be a big rush of cargo leaving now before the 28th of April. And, you know, it could immediately go into international waters or to Singapore or Malaysia or whatever it is. And they will have certain efforts to mitigate, at least in the short term. Malaysia, the challenge, the problem is that Malaysia is losing interest with some of the big buyers, because Sumatra is a great place to source cargoes now, because you can buy a range of products there, which is just not available in Malaysia. So they just need to be, I think, more market friendly. The problem with Malaysia is that I hear a lot of unfriendly market talk. I'm anti you, I'm anti this. I think they need to maybe think a bit harder about that situation.
So you touched on this a couple of times. Malaysia has been grappling with its own issues when it comes to our palm oil, including environmental concerns, allegations of labor exploitation. How do you see these factors playing into our position within the larger industry?
Well, in the short term, obviously, Malaysians think that all these things will be ignored, which is probably likely, right? Everyone's so desperate to get the vegetable oil, they'll just put on hold these requirements, I suppose. I think at least on the environmental front, the palm oil industry's record has been doing reasonably well in like less deforestation and all that sort of things. Labor, Malaysia is obviously trying to step up on that front. But I think the US cargo restriction is not really going to go away. They're not going to pull away from it. You know, companies have been effectively blacklisted quite heavily in the US on that. So I don't really see that changing. And anyway, the pathway into the US market is really quite complicated, right? It's not, they import very little from Malaysia in terms of direct, say, palm oil cargo, but a lot of it goes very indirectly. And this is where the industry, I think, needs to step up and recognize that there are opportunities and challenges. And I think this is what Indonesian players have been doing. Maybe emulating that a lot more would enhance Malaysia's position, which has been on the losing track for a number of years because Indonesia suppliers have done so well. So whether they can get back if Indonesian players are sort of having this problem domestically, I'm sort of reasonably optimistic that the Indonesians will have to sort it out very quickly. And it's probably just a question of allocating certain production runs for domestic market.
Moving forward then, do you anticipate the edible oil market stabilizing soon?
I think everyone's just going to hold their breath for now. It looks as though it's at a big discussion table right now for Indonesian big producers and the president and the policymakers. And they are thumping the tables. The politicians and policymakers are thumping the tables. So let's see what they do. They just need to maybe have regard of domestic supply, which is they have not prioritized until now, even after months of policy changes. So will they recognize that they need to do that? That's the question. If they don't, they could drag out the situation.
Yu Ling, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Kor Yu Ling, a political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors, discussing the ban on palm oil exports. This was announced by Indonesia. And I think just answering that question of where we, as the second global palm oil exporter, could enter the picture, and I guess what we need to fix in order to be able to do that. If you'd like to weigh in, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.